From our jam class, we got certain things. We got Calling of Blues is a very good first jam, or even first couple of jams, because everybody loves it and it's a common language. That doesn't need to be taught, really. But if you're going to do like two or three blueses in a row, then keep in mind what type of blues was it that you had the first time around. You know, if it's you can vary things in terms of key, not only tonal center, but major or minor. You could vary things in terms of tempo, from very slow to medium fast to very fast. That's a lot of range. And then finally, whether it's shuffle or straight feel. If the tempo is slow and it's triplets, it'd be like, and if it's a straight feel, which is two or four instead of three, it might be like one E and a two E and a. Totally different feel, all right? So you have variations in the blues, a lot of them. You could end up playing blues all day, and I'd be perfectly happy with that. I mean, you know, whatever your skill level, chances are, if you vary it up like that enough, you could do that. Now, what else did we talk about? We talked about using a metronome on 2 and 4. Sometimes it's easy to flip the beat around, in which case you just find the tempo at which you're comfortable not flipping the beat around, and then very gradually increase it over the course of however many weeks or days. We also talked about varying the chord voicings. So rather than just play, if you were on B minor, and just to do that one chord over and over would be awful boring. So some simple things you could do is add a little bass line, especially if it's only two guitars playing. Mm-hmm. So 5, 7, 1, like that's easy. Another thing is you look for little patterns. Actually, we were doing it in triplets, so. I don't know if that's what we're doing. So you just look for ways to move stuff around in the chord. Mm-hmm. If you got a B minor at the second fret, you can take pinky off and, you know, play like the 11th or the high 7 up here or the 6th. I'm making like a sub melody underneath the. It's a lot to absorb, but these are just ideas. Another thing is look for the most relaxing way to keep time with your foot if you're gonna tap your foot. Rather than, for example, like you wouldn't want to tap your foot every single triplet, like tap, 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 because it's gonna get tiring. You just do tap, 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 tap. Or if it's 16ths, for example, you would just do 1, 2, E, and 3, E, and 4, E, and okay. I would go, oh wait, I'm sorry, 1E and a 2E and a 3E would be like, tap, 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 right? That's just a side note. One is arpeggiating the chord, like, you know, another one is, chord variation with the remaining fingers, as we were talking about earlier. We should put down little rhythmic variety. So even if you have a groove that is the central part of the tune, like that, occasionally not doing that goes a long way. And you could come back to it. That leads me to one other thing, which is the dynamics. Getting louder and softer is a huge one. The dynamics, if I played a. This is another one, like when you're selecting songs and they may be riff based, see if it's possible to have the other guitarist rather than learn the riff, which can take time and sometimes be frustrating, like if he's not getting it or if it's hard to teach or whatever, then the whole, you're not jamming anymore, one person's teaching the other. So that's a big thing. I've seen that a lot where it goes into like someone trying to teach someone, right. And then someone will say, I used to do this. Like, it's easy. It's just blah, blah, blah. Well, it's easy for you. You're the one who knows the song. You know?
Right.
Right. I just never, it took me a while to get that. So when possible, you know, And then the other thing we talked about is if you have a chord chart, simply ask them, you know, ask them if they're comfortable reading, number one, and then show them the chart and see if that's cool with them. Make sure it's clearly written. In a jam session, when you have a song that you like the chords of, it may be necessary or sometimes even recommended to simplify how many times on each section. Like if it's in the real song, if they do uneven numbers of different, bars of numbers, different sections, there's no way your jam partner is going to digest all that in a short time. They just make a decision and tell them what to do. Simplify chord voicings whenever possible. For example, in this chart, we have B flat add 9 slash D in the key of E flat. Well, no, actually, we're in the key of B flat, so you would just use regular B flat major or B flat major 7 or anything like that. You don't have to worry about the slash D. You don't have to worry about the add 9. Just simplify. And be sure that everyone knows the form. Like in this case, there's three sections. The form is A, B, C, and everybody's aware of the repeats and how long is on each bar. In this case, it's A for 8, B for 16, and C for 8. And the form is A, B, C, A, B, C, A, B, C, the entire duration of the song. You know, some jam tunes aren't really like that. Like, you might play A, B, C, but then the solos are only on the A section. And then when the solos are done, you could play B and C, and then you're done. Or other times, depends how sophisticated you guys want to get with each other, whatever. Like, sometimes you might just jam on A and then use B and C as the interlude. You know, that can be done too. But it's all about communication. There's no right or wrong here. But whatever's easiest. If you find that people are... If you start the jam and you find that people are struggling with the form, then you say, okay guys, look, we're just going to do A, B, and C, and then the solos are only on the A section. When everybody's done soloing, we'll play A, B, and C again, and then we're done. Just, you have to make those kinds of executive decisions on the fly.